And welcome to Double Cross Radio. This is New Year's Eve 2015, and I am Drew Lamb, and many of you know me. I used to host the show with Chuck Horton, and Chuck is live from his liquor store and super busy tonight, so we're having some technical difficulties because he's in his office over there right now, and he's trying to hold down the fort, and he just got on, so I'm going to patch him in here. Just bear with us. I haven't been on the air since April, so I'm a little bit rusty here. But hopefully you guys can hear me loud and clear. Can you guys give me a sound check there in the chat? Can you guys hear me all right? All right. Joe says we're on. Thank you, Joe. And I'm getting used to the new UCY lobby chat here. My old login still worked. And it looks like if I click down here, I can see everybody that's in the chat room. There's DuckMe666, Hopper HB, Joe Friday, Jules, Mama Delight, Maddie Clues, Ranga Mian, Salvador, and Tomato Tomato. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm going to try to get Chuck patched back in here, and we get the show on the road. Sorry for the little hiccups here.
Hi there, Drew.
Hey, Chuck, can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're great.
All right, welcome to your show.
Thanks. Are we on live now?
We are live, yes.
And am I coming in okay?
You're loud and clear. A little bit of feedback.
Okay, I'm going to turn my camera off so to better bandwidth stuff. Let's see what I got. Oh, let's try unplugging that. How's that?
That sounds fine. I don't hear any feedback.
Okay.
So I'm running this Plantronics headset I got last year, and actually Matt Stein recommended that I get this. He sent me a link to Amazon, and it's the same headset that he uses, and so it was only like $20, so I picked one up, and I really like it. It works really good.
Well, that's awesome. Drew, it's so good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, I haven't seen you for a while. I think last time I saw you was Cinco de Mayo. I came in and I bought a bottle of tequila.
Some organic.
It was organic tequila, and it was excellent. Yes.
Yeah. It's by the way, that's from the. See, that was Trace Generations. I think that's a Salsa product, that big company. But I highly recommend it to everybody out there that wants to still have, you know, good quality in their food.
It was absolutely fantastic. It's long gone now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I kind of struggled some weeks when we were real busy, but we managed to keep the show alive, and I've had a lot of fun on some shows. We had a couple of really interesting guests. We had Jordan Page on recently, promoting his new single, Arm Yourself, available for $2. $2 download. You just go to his website and you get that. Arm Yourself plus a Act 3, which is kind of his version of it's kind of like a battle scene, just all with his guitar. And it's incredible.
They're fantastic. I bought the download. And it was just great.
We're going to have several of these phone interruptions today. We're in my office here at work.
It sounds like we're running some kind of a telethon here. Send money now.
Yeah, so make the ringing stop.
It sounds like the Jerry Lewis telethon or something.
Yeah.
We'll donate all this to charity.
Jordan sent his best to you. I didn't relay it very well though until now, but he really enjoys this, and he's just a good guy.
Yeah, and let's see, he's up to 6 kids. I think yes. they had a new baby this year.
So yeah, I don't know who is calling.
He's got
I think a lot of times people call right now because they want to know if we're still open.
Are you kidding me? It's
just
a
let me take
store
the call.
New Year's.
Oh, live on air. Good evening, Spirits World Liquor Store. This is Chuck. How can I help you? We close at 9 o'clock. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, it sounds like business is good.
Yeah, business is fabulous. This might be a record for this store for this day, New Year's. I don't know if it's because it's on – well, it's not a Friday. It's on Thursday. I don't know if it's – it's really something. So anyway, I guess everybody got welcome to the show. I got to give Drew a big thank you. My computer froze up. I had to reboot it. And computer, then it's getting near the end of its life. I'll put it that way. We use it for to play music and stuff here. we don't use it for very much serious work anymore. It's just too slow.
I can't use it on Skype. But a year ago, I got one of those Chromebooks, and the one I got is an Acer. Mm-hmm. And I actually really like this thing. They haven't built a Skype app that works for it yet, but they are working on it. I think I could chat with Skype on it right now, but I really love this thing. There's no hard drive in it.
Yeah.
And so you just grab an app. If you want to do something, just grab an app and it just works. It gets you on the internet. There's no startup routine. You just fire it up and there you go. And yep. It works good. It was like, you could get one of these for like $240. Mm-hmm. And you know, and if you need to do stuff like docs and spreadsheets or something like that, you got to use the cloud. And but if you're not dealing with anything that's super private, you know, I wouldn't put anything super confidential, you know, into the cloud. But for most things, it works really good. I've been doing some website design lately, updating our websites and stuff, and I've done some photo editing with this. I just went into the App Store, grabbed an app, did a few little edits, did a few little things with it, and it worked really good. I was really happy. So I've for years, you know, I wanted to have something. I always wanted a computer that didn't have a boot up routine. I've always thought that the whole boot up routine was ridiculous. You're sitting there waiting, and I'm a Mac guy, at least I used to be, and the pinwheels are spinning around, and you're waiting and waiting, and junk crashes and things slow down and all this and that. Just sick of it. And I thought that there ought to be something better. And a friend of mine recommended one of these, and it's my favorite computer. It's my cheapest computer and my favorite one yet, except for maybe my mobile tracking device. I've got a Droid Max X. That I just got recently, and that's pretty cool too. So, anyways, the technology's getting good. I think it's getting to the point where it works better. It's too bad that it's all exploited to track us and spy on us, though.
Yeah, but you know, I say just the more we make them track us and do it, the more resources they have to expend. You know, that's what brought down England, is because when we had our revolution, is they kept trying to find ways to extort money out of the colonies, and it always cost them more than they got. And so I think that that's the fastest way for all this tyranny to blow up in their face is for us to just continue to give them stuff to look at.
Yeah.
And just make them spend all their money and resources on watching us. And that means it's going to just hasten their demise.
I hope so. You know, I was hanging out with David Kirk West the other day, and we were talking. We were sharing in this feeling. You know, we were just disappointed that you know, at least where we are, the liberty movement's kind of fallen apart. And we're, you know, I think I've expressed this to you as well in emails, but we're just not as, it doesn't feel like we're as tight as we were. You know, like in 2012, when we were campaigning for Ron Paul, and there were Occupy events going on, and we had reasons to get together all the time.
Yeah.
And so you know, we were always doing stuff, showing up at some kind of a rally. You know, we get together and talk and demonstrate.
And
you know, and lately we haven't had much of that. There hasn't been anything going on, and you know, this the selection right now is just a bunch of hooey. There's really nobody worth campaigning for, in my opinion. But we're talking about
was a really good candidate. I doubt they could do much. This battle was lost a long time ago, and it's just kooky theater to make people think they have a choice.
Right. It is an illusion of choice, as always. At least with Ron Paul, we are getting the issues out there. I honestly didn't want him to be the president. I thought that he'd do better if he could be outside of government, and I think that he's done a lot of good since he retired.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of people that want him to run.
Yes.
Trying to draft him into the running. I also read something this morning that his son, Rand, is you have to really dig for this information because it's not going to be on your CBS, NBC, ABC Evening News. But Rand is ahead in all the polls head-to-head against Hillary. He's by far the best Republican candidate. He polls much better with independents, which are the majority of voters, by the way. The independents out-register the Democrats and the Republicans. The fact that he's not one of those two parties, which is really the same party, and just it's the military goon party and the socio-fascist pretend to be benevolent government party.
pretend to be benevolent. Yes, exactly.
Oh, yep. Another phone call. Let's see.
Another donor. How much are they going to pledge?
Hang on, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Spirits World Liquor Store. This is Chuck. How can I help you? not really. We have a few cigars, just like Swisher Sweets and stuff like that. But a real cigar selection, you need to go to a smoke shop. All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Oh, wow. Can you sell tobacco?
Yeah. We sell today. Today we've sold pretty close to $1,000 worth of cigarettes.
Wow. So.
And you know how much we make on that? Probably about $20. Then kickbacks, basically. You get for keeping, for them being able to establish the prices and kind of fix the prices, you get volume kickbacks. And so it kind of works out to you make about 10% on a pack of cigarettes.
So on October 1st, recreational marijuana became legal in Oregon. And, I have a tenant who operates a dispensary. So they started out doing medical marijuana, and now they're doing recreational and medical. And, the interesting thing about it is that their sales just exploded, of course, and you've got people that don't want to spend the $400 or whatever to get a medical marijuana card. They're coming in droves to pick stuff up. But I went down there on the first day just to see how things were rolling. I just wanted to see how much traffic was coming in and if there were any problems or if there were. I didn't really expect it, but I had to make sure that there weren't going to be people smoking out in the parking lot. I really didn't think that would happen, but I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have any problems or anything that would annoy the other tenants. And I think they had maybe 300 new customers come through that day. It was pretty intense. Just I couldn't believe all the people coming in and out, but everything was really good. Pretty smooth, no problems, no garbage. I didn't have any complaints. Everything went really well, and I didn't have any problems with how it was going, and nobody else did either. And so it was a pretty good test to see, what it was going to be like to have that business rolling like that. But it wasn't that busy after that, that first day it just exploded, and there's too many dispensaries right now. I mean, I think just in Phoenix alone there's three or four, maybe something like that. I think there's over 300 in Oregon total. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, if they might do something where they're going to make it so that the medical dispensaries can't sell recreational. So that'll be kind of interesting to see what happens if they do something like that. I don't understand why they would do that.
I will explain it to you, because these guys, these people that run these things, they're a little bit anal about stuff. Well, not just a little bit. They're just kind of anal. But it's they see things as black and white. Everything is that way. And when I buy vermouth from OLCC, I can sell that vermouth to a bar because I'm distributing their product. When I buy vermouth from one of my wine distributors, which they also sell it, I cannot sell that to a bar because then I don't have the right kind of license. I need a distribution license. Mm. And you can, anybody that I tell this to sees this just as the most absurd thing they've ever heard of, but to them it makes complete sense.
Right.
So it's just how they are. And there are two different kinds of licenses, and you one doesn't allow you to do the other. You have to have one or the other or both if you want to do both. So it's
just ridiculous.
Just how they think. It's just
and then with the recreational marijuana, pretty soon here, the tax kicks in. There's going to be a 25% sales tax on top of that, and so that's insane. I mean, that's 25% sales tax. That's just crazy. But
that's about what they do on alcohol.
Yeah,
30% on alcohol.
I mean, you know, if they're not careful, they're just going to reignite the black market.
I'm sure it's already there.
Well, people can grow
a little bit for themselves, and they'll just harvest it.
But demand is really strong, you know, because of all the end of prohibition, the legalization, and all. Demand is really strong, and everybody wants to get in on this. So there's all these people that are getting into production, and it's driving the prices down. So these dispensaries, like this fall, were just inundated with product. They were turning away suppliers, just too much product. And Oregon already has the lowest price in the country, the lowest prices, and it's just going to keep getting lower, I think, and until it doesn't make any sense anymore, you know, to produce. So that's the only thing that'll keep it from going back to the black market, you know, because there's not really a good reason to do it yet, I think.
So Chuck, how can I help you? 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Bye. This is real live radio, everybody. This is some good information, Drew.
Yeah, it is. So,
by the way, everybody, in case you're thinking of calling, we close at 9 p.m. Pacific time. someone else got it. Thank God.
That's incredible.
No, today has just been an amazing day. We zoomed past my goal for the day about half an hour before it came on the air.
I think we've got the loudest radio show ever. Between dogs and phones.
Good evening, Spirits World Liquor Store. This is Chuck. How can I help you? 9 p.m. Yeah, and you're live on the radio right now. I'm doing a radio show from my store today, and you're on it. How about that? Isn't that cool? Yeah. Thank you for calling. You too. Bye-bye. Awesome. That was awesome. She had a sense of humor. Anyway, this marijuana business, I hope that some sanity starts to emerge and they start producing or growing hemp crops. The Southern Oregon region is a perfect place to grow hemp.
The problem with the hemp is that the medical and the recreational growers here don't want their genetics messed up with the hemp.
Well,
and so I think that if anybody wants to grow hemp, they're going to be met with some resistance. And I have a feeling that ultimately there will be a law passed that's similar to the GMO ban in Jackson County, where they'll say that hemp can't be grown here. And we might see something like that happen in Northern California too, you know, because they don't want the cross-pollination to happen, because it would totally mess up their genetics. And I don't condone this, you know. I don't think there should be, you know, a law that governs this. And I think if you're gonna produce hemp, you know, you need to be careful that you're containing your pollen, so that you're not contaminating somebody else's crop. You know, that's your responsibility. And if the medicinal growers and the recreational growers can be assured by the hemp growers that there's not going to be any kind of cross pollination or contamination, then, you know, then we could see something happen where there aren't any laws. I hate it when people just go to the government and say there ought to be a law, and then we have a vote and everybody, you know, votes for the ban or whatever. Things are done.
Nothing good ever started with somebody saying there ought to be a law.
No, there's no good that comes of it.
Never.
And, you know, there's always the unintended consequences of that. And you end up with another thing too, is that the enforcement ends up being subsidized by the property taxpayers, and so you just grow government is all you end up doing.
You grow government, you grow tyranny. That's all you do.
Exactly. So another thing too that's holding back hemp is the availability of seed. There aren't enough cultivars. Hemp hadn't been cultivated in the United States. I can't remember exactly for how long, but I mean it's been decades and decades. And I think there were some cultivars in Canada and in France. And,
now, Canada's got quite an industry going there.
Yeah, and so you've got
their seeds won't work well here because they're for that climate.
Right, exactly. The seeds are going to need to adapt, and so you're going to need something that's going to grow well in this climate. And then after a while, you'd have farmers that are going to save seeds, and that genetic information will be in those seeds, and then you'll have a good cultivar for this region. That's going to take some time. It's going to take a few generations before that gets dialed in. So that's the challenge right now. I remember a while back reading about somebody in Jackson County here in Southern Oregon that got a permit and everything to raise hemp, but he couldn't get any seed.
Yeah.
And that's the last I heard of it.
You know, it's quite an amazing product. I mean, they can make girders that are stronger than steel. It won't ever rot like wood does. You can make clothing out of it. You can make paper out of it. It's this most incredible product, you know, that's out there. And it's just amazing how, because these rich industrialists own these other companies that make competing products, they have just managed to take this natural product that's much better, doesn't need pesticides and all sorts of petrochemical fertilizers. It actually puts nitrogen back in the soil. It's just an amazing thing, and they, you know, actually the whole thing about outlying marijuana was to get hemp off the market.
Yeah,
and it's just a travesty. It's just some people they're using government. See, they're using government to solve a problem that doesn't exist by making you think there's a problem. You know, those stupid movies like Reefer Madness, and
right?
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then they. And everybody thinks, oh, the government has saved us from the horrors of marijuana. And they lost hemp in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
And marijuana didn't ever go away. It got more popular because it became a black market thing. It could be profitable, so it was then promoted because people could make a lot of money with something that's illegal.
Well, another thing, too, is that the banks have made a lot of money, you know, off of it being illegal. And a lot of times that's why things are prohibited. That's why things are banned, is so that the politicians that make the laws can profit from the black market trade of that product. And we've seen this with marijuana, where you had Wachovia and Bank of America got in a bunch of trouble for laundering money for Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah, Is it HSBC? Is that what it is?
I don't know if they were involved but they
got a $2 billion fine, and according to how much money they were making off that, that was less than 1% of the profit that they made.
You could go on Bloomberg and just do a search on it. It's pretty easy. I know in that article it said that Bank of America and Wachovia, you know, they did get in trouble for laundering the money.
No one went to prison.
Oh no, of course not. Nobody goes to prison. I mean, who's responsible? You have a giant corporation. Who's the corporation? You put the corporation in jail. The CEO could say, "Well, I didn't know about it." You know, you just who's to blame? You know, yeah. So let's see the cartel. I think it was Les Zetas that was the drug cartel they were laundering the money through.
That's the one that the CIA set up.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of counter to the established. What's the other one? The Sinaloa. I don't know if I'm even saying it right. Cartel. That's more of an established cartel. You know, kind of like a gentleman mafia type of an operation. You know, but the Les Zetas, those guys are, you know, they're armed. They're the ones that the U.S. government arms. They you know, ship the arms to Fast and Furious and all that business, you know, is all part of that. So now we're seeing an extension of this going on right now. What we're seeing right now is that the banks are trying to crack down on the legal dispensaries by going to the property owners and saying that you have a loan on your property through us. We're calling your loan because we have to conform with federal law, and federal law says that marijuana is illegal. Therefore, given that you've rented to a business that's involved in this, we're calling your loan. And so they're using this as a way to grab people's property or shut down the competition with
what
the black market.
What the states should do that have legalized marijuana, when the banks start strong-arming people like that, they should just revoke their licenses to do business in the state. So you're no longer authorized here.
Right. That would be the trick.
You got all this property that you might as well start selling that. I guess it's not going to be – going to have too many – selling off your branches to other banks or something because you're not going to be doing business here anymore.
So recently there was some legislation that was passed that has officially legalized medical marijuana on the federal level. There was an article recently in the LA Times. And so who knows when all this comes into effect. It sounded like it came into effect immediately. But who knows? Who knows how long this is going to take? And why is it only medical marijuana? Why is it not recreational marijuana? That's where the big market is right there. You know, is recreational.
If we should probably post the names of all those banks. And if any of you have accounts in those banks, you should just find a different bank.
Yeah.
Because those banks they're the ones that are, you know, denying people freedom. And it doesn't always have to be government that's the tyrannical whatever. If they have a feel that they can just throw their weight around, that they're too big to have anybody do anything to them, well, they will do whatever they can get away with. And so just the only way to really hurt them is in their pocketbooks by, you know, you have a loan with them, refinance it with a different bank. And just all their loans will dry up, all their bank accounts will dry up. They'll have all these empty branches. People can protest out in front of the bank. You know, these guys are strong-arming people who rent to marijuana dispensaries just because they rent to marijuana dispensaries. And we think you should do business somewhere else with a bank that doesn't, you know, interfere with people's freedoms to do what they want with their own body.
Well, yeah. I mean, the people in these states, you know, voted and they made a choice.
They did. And it was an overwhelming choice in Oregon.
Right, right. They said this is what we want. And, you know, I mean, you're looking at this sort of thing in Oregon, Colorado, Washington, you know, time and time again. I mean, there's hundreds of dispensaries. So this is going to be popping up, you know, here and there for a while.
I'm probably represent maybe a third of the people who voted for that initiative, and that I probably will never imbibe in any marijuana in the rest of my life. I tried it once when I was really young. I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't like it that well. I don't particularly like smoking either. But it just, so I don't care, but I just think that once you establish the fact that the state has the right to deny someone the right to put into their own body what they want to, that's a pretty dangerous precedent for people that want to remain free. It's
well, and we're seeing too how new laws are being drafted in each community too. And I'm all for local control, you know, of government. But you have these busybodies in these city councils that don't want to go out on a limb. And in some cases, they've sworn an oath to uphold federal law. And so they just automatically say, nope, we're going to have a ban. Can't have any weed in our town, because they don't want to go out on a limb. You know, and they're not listening to their constituents. They're just covering their asses.
In some cases, they might be being blackmailed by federal agencies and say, well, there goes your funding for this.
True.
For your police department. And that MRAP that was on its way has been diverted to a different city now.
Right, right. Just as well. They can't afford to maintain them anyway. They're total white elephants.
Yes, they are.
I mean, they're having problems with that. You know, here in Medford, they're having problems maintaining their gear. Their heavy equipment that the SWAT team's got from the federal government. You know, they don't have enough money.
Yeah, all they had to do for that to get that. Oh man, another call. Let's see who this is. Good evening, Spirits World Liquor Store. This is Chuck. How can I help you? Till 9 p.m. Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Ah, still got 24 minutes to go. I wonder how many more phone calls there. Who's got the over and under? Okay.
Well, the liquor store funds this show indirectly.
Yeah. So it's and I couldn't go home and do this show from a nice quiet place tonight because I'm going to need it as soon as this is over. But
it is the primary sponsor.
Yeah, there's people out there that need a break, and I have to go out there and spell them at the cash register pretty soon. But it's great. I did want to bring up one thing that happened this last week. Drew, I think you've probably been out there to the Wellsprings in Ashland.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ash and I both really like it out there. We go there and they have mineral baths, hot water, and it's a natural hot springs. Mm-hmm. And the water's very mineral rich. You absorb some of that through your skin, so it always makes you feel good the next day, that day, the next day. And it's real pleasant. And we got in there and it's kind of quiet and some people are kind of talking quietly with themselves. And then a woman comes in with her baby. That's maybe, baby's maybe 9 months to 15 months old, something like that. And she's just kind of letting the baby float around in the pool. And the baby is just the cutest thing you've ever seen. And everybody just loosened up. And it's like everybody was kind of afraid, didn't want to offend somebody else, whatever. And all of a sudden, there's this baby, and it made me think. It says, "Well, you know, when do we lose this? When do we lose this thing where we don't trust anybody anymore?
Right, right.
How does that happen? Where nobody's going to be afraid of this little baby? Of course, it can't hurt you, but at the same time, I mean, no one was saying, "Oh, be careful, he doesn't poop in the pool," or you know, anything like that. It was, you know, there's still concerns that people might have, but everybody was just charmed by this baby. The baby smiled, and it was just, and nobody felt threatened or intimidated or anything else, because babies don't have to, I guess they have to learn how to be mean and cruel and hate and all that sort of thing. And that was just I already knew all this stuff, but I don't give it enough importance. How important it is just to smile when you meet somebody and just to make them feel like you're not a threat to them, because you're not.
I agree. You know, a few weeks ago we had that big snowstorm, and I headed over to Kelly's salon with my shovel to clear off the sidewalk over there, because it's on a slight hill and it gets packed down from people walking on it. It gets all icy and slippery. It happens really swiftly. So I grabbed some de-icer and my shovel and got over there, and I started shoveling the sidewalk, and there's people passing by, and some of them are really struggling. You know, there was an elderly woman who was holding on to the side of the building at the credit union, trying not to fall. And I went over there and I offered her my arm and helped her down the sidewalk. And there was another woman I helped too. You know, the snow plows had scooped up all the snow, so it was bermed up across the crosswalks, and so it was hard to just get anywhere. And so another woman asked for help, and I helped her. And then we had a client who's blind who came along. At that point, I had almost everything cleared off and de-iced, and I helped her into the store. And you know, but I had so many people just stop and thank me, you know, or tell me what kind of physical problem they had. You know, one guy had fallen and hurt his back, and he was really having a rough time, and he was so grateful to get to our section of sidewalk, which was totally clear and de-iced. But I tell you, it felt really good just being out there and just helping people. It felt really good. It was one of the best things I've experienced in a long time, was just being out there on the sidewalk and just really connecting with people and offering assistance and just being there. It was just fantastic. It was just wonderful. And and I just felt this this connection with some of the people. It was you know, it was just a human experience. It's natural. It's the way that things ought to be. And we get removed from that, you know, in our day-to-day activities, especially in this age of the internet and everything, and we just forget about what it is to be human beings and to see one another eye to eye and just help each other along the way, literally.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you much to just even let people know that you're not a threat to them. You don't want anything they have. You want to help them if you can, and you know, if it doesn't cost much to help a lady across the street. That used to be something that Boy Scouts were supposed to do. You're supposed
to. I want more of it. I just want to like just go out now and just stand around and help old ladies across the street. You know, it's a great feeling. It was good. I really liked it. It was fulfilling.
And I shared that thought with a woman who was a complete stranger who was in the hot springs soaking pool. And I said, "Matt, just did you see this too? How that baby just kind of changed the whole mood of the people in here? Everybody was, they just relaxed and started talking with the people they didn't know, like I am with you." And she says, "Yeah, I felt it too." And we had a great conversation. We disagreed about a couple of things, but you know, it was not a threatening thing. I agree with you on that one, but you know, I agree with you on this part of what you said. I think there's a deeper cause to it than, you know, just people want to go out and rape the earth. I don't think people want to do that. I think they do it because if they don't, someone else will. If they owned the property, they wouldn't do it at all because they'd be destroying the value of the property, and that wouldn't. Mm-hmm. That'd be stupid. I mean, no one would do that. No one goes out and rams their car into brick walls just because they can.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you wouldn't dump all your waste in a river that's going to end up in a lawsuit downstream when somebody sues you. It's all your profits. It's just if you just enforce property rights, there wouldn't be any problem.
Yeah.
She was really concerned about the mining.
Oh.
I think mining gets a bad rap because it's being done. You know, we started talking about the tragedy of the commons, and it's that's the whole problem. Is that government-owned land? Well, you know, you don't care if you ruin their stuff because it's like government employees. They, you know, they disregard the equipment they're given to work with. It's just another one will be provided if that one breaks. So
it gets ridiculous. So you look at, you know, what's happened with the dredgers here in Oregon, and you know, the government's trying to keep the miners out of the rivers, and it's ridiculous, you know, when you have giant floods like we had recently, you know, and rivers running at like 18,000 CFS, it's just cubic feet per second, it's just tearing through the valley, wrecking everything in its path. Way more destructive than anything the miners would be doing.
Yeah, And that's nature.
That's nature. And it happens regularly.
Yeah. And you know, it's, she was right that a lot of damage was done to the environment by mining in the past, but it was done because it was a tragedy of a commons.
Right.
And I said, well, I agree with you that there's been a lot of abuse of the land and the beautiful forests we have up there, and I don't want those to leave. I enjoy hiking up there and spending time outdoors. For people who love being outdoors, the Southern Oregon is about as good as it gets.
Right, yeah.
And, but it says, I don't think the problem is public ownership.
Right.
And that's not going to solve anything. That's just going to give people power to be bribed by the people who will rape it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've seen in a lot of Latin American countries now where, like Dole Pineapple and big banana plantations and whatever, they go in there and they plant it, they grow it, they strip the soil of all the nutrients and they just burn it down and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just leave a desolate, like a desert behind them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have on in the new year, we're going to have on a guy who's has a farm down in Costa Rica, used to live here in the Rogue Valley. Josh Peacekeeper, what's his last name? Hughes? Anyway, he's from the Rogue Valley. One of my employees spent some time down there as a member of his farm co-op. He's an amazing guy. He's really got it figured out. He works about 4 or 5 hours a day. And
wow.
He has everything he needs.
Wow.
And,
that sounds nice.
Yeah, and he doesn't live in the lifestyle that I would choose, but he is very happy in it, and I just salute him. And I know that you and you want to be on the show if we ever get it squared up on a date when we can be on it, because he's very interested in your aquaponics stuff. He does a lot of aquaponics with ponds that he have that have fish mm-hmm. in it. When he has garbage, like his food scraps, he'll put them in a bucket that has holes in the bottom, and he puts mm-hmm. hooks them on a rope and puts it out over the pond. The flies lay their eggs in there, and the maggots start, and they start eating the garbage, much like your black soldier flies do. And the maggots come out, and then when they're getting ready to pupate, they drop out of the bucket, and the fish eat them.
Well, I'm sure that SWAT teams will be at his door shortly.
But he's employing pretty much the same kind of cycle that you're doing in your aquaponics, and you know he has figured out. He's growing some cash crops, and he's doing some barter with his neighbors, but there's some things you have to buy, so he has to have some dollars coming in, but it doesn't take him long to produce it. And he's really worked to improve the water systems for he and his neighbors, and gotten them to work together to to get good clean water. And they've got together some other people's pooled their resources, and they purchased the farm that Dole Pineapple wanted to get because they wanted it for the water supply, and it would have screwed these guys' water up so badly.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to. He's got all these people to eliminate putting Roundup and glyphosates into their food supply because there's cancers running rampant there. And he says, "This is what's happening. Oh. I have to stop doing this." And so they've cleaned up a lot of the area, and the jungle's starting to come back the way it's supposed to be. And he's a really interesting guy. It's going to be a great show if I can get this lined up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there's more property available down there.
Wow.
It's not that expensive.
Yeah, and, also those guys down at Fort Galt, down in Valdivia, Chile,
mm-hmm.
they acquired some land just recently here, this month, actually. And so they're going to start breaking ground soon. So if anybody's interested in that project, things are moving along, and you know I've been following it really, really closely, and I've been researching Valdivia a lot. It's a beautiful town, about 150,000 people or so down in the Lagos region of Chile, near the southern part of Chile. It's south of Santiago, and
it's a climate very much like Southern Oregon, and maybe Willamette Valley.
Yeah, very, very much like that. It looks like Oregon. You know, it's close to the coast, looks coastal, absolutely beautiful. And just from the scene that's going on there, there's a really big farmer's market there, and there's all these microbreweries and nice restaurants, and things aren't expensive. It reminds me of
Really high quality wine from Chile, and it gets shipped all the way from Chile up here to a distributor who marks it up to us and mark it up, and we're selling it on the shelf for $5, $6, and it's good wine.
Yeah, and the scene down there just looks great. It reminds me of Portland in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you've got some great things going on, a beautiful place, and it's still inexpensive, totally affordable. It's just beautiful. So I've been watching this project closely. So what they're building is kind of it's kind of like a really nice multifamily structure, and you could buy in. You know, it's like a condo project, and you could buy in, and you could select the size of unit that you want based on what you can afford, and they're trying to get entrepreneurs to come in there, and there's opportunities for collaboration, and there's going to be like shop area. You know, if you're a maker, if you're into like 3D printing or design and things like that, there'll be an area there for people to work on their projects and get their businesses rolling. And you know, ultimately, if you're going to go down there, I mean, the key is to size up the markets there and see what you have, what you can offer the people that are there.
Well, I'm getting close to my second retirement, so what I'd be able to offer is maybe cash. But that's, and I got a good retirement income that I can channel down there until the stuff hits the fan up here. Then I may have to go back to work for the third time. I don't know. I also wanted to talk a little bit while I had you on here, and you were with David just recently. Kokesh.
Adam.
Adam Kokesh was interviewed by Tom Woods recently.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle, about two-thirds of the way through it, he's talking about things he's working on. And he says he's working on making a movie out of his book Freedom, which is not that long a book. Something you could probably read in 2 or 3 hours. But it's pretty heavy stuff. I mean, it's not just a bunch of, you know, feel good sayings or slogans. It's really well thought out. And he said we're working on a collaboration with David Kirk West to make a movie of this. I'm going, what? So I want to get David on soon again and talk about this, see if this is really going to happen, and make him promise to keep us abreast of what's going on there.
So David's been working pretty hard making short films for contests. Mm-hmm. So he enters these contests, and usually they're contests for an advertisement. So you know, you get the setup. Okay, this is what we need. This is the product. You know, make an ad for us, or here's the campaign.
Well, yeah, I think that Doritos commercial he made last year was amazing.
Well, he's had a regular stream of income coming in from contest winning. So, one of the videos was for the Ad Council, and they wanted something about recycling, and he featured my farm in my operation, and I've got all these containers and things mm-hmm. that I've recycled that I fashioned into aquaponic systems, and then with my composting operation where I'm making food for the fish and all that. And he did win. He won an award for that, and he got a few thousand dollars for that. So the key is just to keep cranking them out. Keep cranking them out.
It gets better every time he does something.
Oh, he does. He gets more efficient, and the quality gets better, and he gets to where he could do it even faster and faster. So, I really admire what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's making it happen.
I know, and I, as much as I miss him, and because he had a little bit different viewpoint on a lot of the things we did, but they were really well thought out. I didn't always agree with them, but I miss his input into the show, but I think that he made exactly the right decision, that he needed to put all his energy into doing this.
So what I wanted to get back to really quickly was that what we want to do is we want to start getting more people of our mindset meeting with each other in the real world, out there in meat space, and doing things, engaging in trade with one another, and giving people jobs and renting people homes, and all these things that can happen when people know each other and are networking with one another, and they just and there are all these things that we could do for one another outside of government institutions and outside of government regulation and all this business. And you know, and so I was talking to our friend Vigo Fox about this too. I said, we need to get something going because we've lost momentum. We had momentum in 2012, and it feels like, at least in the real world, maybe not on the internet, but in the real world, we've lost momentum. We're not working together anymore. We're not bumping up against each other. And so Vigo started this organization called Liberties Alive. And you could find it on Facebook.
Yeah, you dropped a link in our Facebook page.
Yes, and so this is the instrument that we're going to be using to create more collaboration, to get more people involved, and get more people to know each other and networking. It's affinity networking. What we're trying to do is get like-minded people together, so that they could help one another and trade with one another. Think of it as kind of like a voluntarist leads group or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you kind of vote with your dollars anyway.
And right.
I would much rather buy something or buy a product, patronize a business that shares most of my beliefs, or at least some of them, and not a place like Walmart.
Right. So I met up with
Vigo. I have anything against Walmart. I'm sure there's people that they serve well too, but I don't think they serve my interests very well at all.
Well, if I need a pair of jeans and I only have $12, you know, it's the place to go.
Well, you can get better jeans at the Goodwill store.
That's true. Or I could make my own, I guess.
Well, that might be cost you too much your time, but I don't. Well, whatever. The food they sell there is crap.
Yeah.
It's the body shape of the people that buy the food there. It's kind of uniform. It's kind of like the blob that's eating the parking lot or something. They're huge.
It's a cultural experience going over there for sure. I try not to.
Well, we're getting close to the time when the music starts. This has been a lot of fun talking with you, Drew. Despite all the phone interruptions, which shows you it was a live show and it's unscripted.
It's hard when you've got a live show. It's got to be done every week, and then you've got to make ends meet at the same time. And
this is kind of like
there aren't a bunch of sponsors out there, so you got to sponsor yourself.
This is kind of like when you're a farmer and it's time to harvest your stuff, and you just got to work until you get it done.
That's right.
this is our big day. It's New Year's Eve when you're in a liquor business. So anyway, I was just so happy to be able to talk with you again for an hour. This was really pleasant for me.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I appreciate coming back on.
I sob about it. I kind of commiserate to our audience almost every week. Says, oh, I'm really miss Drew. But it's I just feel like if I don't do this show, it just kind of starts to build up inside me, and I get frustrated, and I almost get angry, but getting angry is really useless energy.
Yes. Yeah.
You just got to do things that make things better, and angry isn't one of them.
Now you got to channel it into action.
Yeah. And that's why what you're talking about sounds like that's what we need to do.
It'd be good. It'd be good to come back on with Vigo soon. We'll be getting together after the first of the year here.
That would be awesome. And you know who else? Someone stopped by the store today would be very interested in that too. That's Colorblind Justice was here.
Yep. Yeah. KG.
Yeah. And I think he really would enjoy that.
I know he will. I know he will. So what we want to do is, we want to get a barbecue going pretty soon, and then have some more formal events as well, more like a business meeting setting. And so stay tuned.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Have a happy day. I wish for next year to be as long as I'm not. So I hope all of you have a peaceful year 2016, you prosper, and tune in and rise. So one more time with feeling, you're bound to break.